Good afternoon. I hope you've had a great day. We've been blessed unbelievably with what I think of as beautiful weather. Some of you would like it a little cooler, I'm sure. Maybe some of you a little warmer, but it's been fantastic. It wouldn't be us if we weren't just a little bit different, would it? Being optimistic, pessimistic. You see, this morning I started talking about our brother Walker riding the tricycle, and I was trying to be optimistic. You know, I was saying some people thought maybe he needed a calendar to check how long it took him to go around, and I said, no, he needed a stopwatch like everybody else. We want to be optimistic people, taking a look at life in a positive way. If you'll just notice the title, I've tried to be positive with the title. Let's focus on the negative. And I didn't say don't be negative or it's ugly to be negative or anything like that. I just want us to focus on the negative here for just a few minutes as we think about what kind of life God would like for us to live. It's important to see things from a different perspective sometimes. And our own perspective is not all that it needs to be every time for sure. That would be true for every one of us. I read a story and have it here in front of me about a blind boy that was sitting on the steps of a building, and he took off his hat and he overturned his hat and he put a very crude sign there by the hat. It was a tattered sign. It looked like it had been used quite a bit. And the sign simply read, "I am blind. Please help." Another man walked up to think about putting some coins in the hat, and he saw the sign and he took some coins from his pocket. He dropped them in the hat, but he then took the sign and he turned it over and he wrote some words on the sign and he put the sign back down so that everybody that walked by could see the sign with the different words that this man had written on it. Soon the hat, this story says, began to fill up. A lot more people were giving money to this young man that was blind. And the afternoon, late in the day, the man came back by just to check to see how things were going and if anything had changed. When the man walked up, the boy recognized his footsteps. And he said, "You're the one that changed my sign this morning, aren't you?" And the young man who was blind asked, "What did you write on the sign?" The man said, "I only wrote the truth." He said, "I said what you said, but I said it in a different way. I wrote, 'Today is a beautiful day, but I cannot see it.'" Both signs told people that the boy was blind, but the first sign simply said, "The boy was blind. Help me." The second sign told people that they were lucky. "You are not blind. You can see the day. I cannot see what you can see." When we think about the hat being much more full of coins, should we be surprised that the second sign was more effective than the first? The moral of the story is for us to be thankful for what we have. We can all be more creative. We can all be more innovative. We can think more positively. And when life gives us 100 reasons to cry, you can show that your life has 1,000 reasons to smile. We ought to face life in a positive way. That's what God has tried to do for us. God has done everything that He can do for us to face life in a positive way. But a pessimist is a person who habitually sees or anticipates the worst or who is disposed to be gloomy. Do you know anybody like that? Are you a pessimist? I tell our marriage and the family class, and I sometimes tell other classes when I'm teaching about relationships, that there are some people that I know, if they were to walk through this door, it would just light up my life. It would just make me smile. I love those people. I love to be around them. They bring joy to me. They bring a lot of happiness to me. Everybody in this room, I think, has at least one person in your life that is like that to you. They just come into the room and the lights seem to get brighter. Or if they're not on, the lights seem to come on. On the other hand, I know some people that light up the room for me when they leave the room. because they are so pessimistic. They're so gloomy. They are so negative about life. They're negative about themselves. They're negative about other people. They don't think anything is ever going to work out. And when they finally leave, we just feel a little bit relieved because now we can begin to think in a more clear and on a better way. When you stop and think about us being negative, and all of us are prone to be negative sometimes, there are people who are much less negative than others, but we are just pretty negative. I was sitting at the Chester County football game with a friend on Friday night, and when USJ jumped all over us, we made a few mistakes, and they jumped all over us, I said to my friend, just listening to what USJ had done this year and knowing their past and what a quality program they've had, this is the kind of game I expected. What do you think about an attitude like that? I went to the game expecting us to get beat. We had a very good team. We have a very good team. And yet, I went to the game expecting us to get beat. I don't know if my negativity had anything to do with us getting beat or not, but I can tell you this. If I'd have been a coach and a player had been talking like I was, I would have been a little bit unhappy. We played very well in the second half and had a chance to come back and win that game. We played quite well in the second half. But we're all disposed to being negative sometimes. And one of the things that God wants you and me to understand is just what Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 teaches us. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Are you a negative person? Look at your thoughts and see how you feel about life. If you are consistently expecting the negative, if you believe that things are bad and sad are going to happen, sometimes there are bad things that are going to happen. And sometimes we think our life is over because that's it. A relationship might be damaged in some way, and we think that's it. I'll never have another friend. I'll never have another dating partner. We just think so negatively about life as though life is over. And if you are one who is predisposed, that is, you are just thinking negatively most all the time, that's exactly what you are. That's what God is trying to teach us and tell us from Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. The pessimist sees and focuses on problems and not solutions. One of the things that I heard from a former boss of mine many, many times, I would say to him, wow, you've got a real problem on your hands, don't you? And he would say, well, I believe I have a real opportunity on my hand. There were times when I would want to roll my eyes, but that's exactly the way I should have been thinking. You've got a great opportunity to stand up. You've got a great opportunity to do some good and to help circumstances and to be better and make life better for many other people. A pessimist subscribes to thinking that life is utterly hopeless and helpless. There just doesn't seem to be a way to get out of the circumstances that we're in. As I look over this audience, there are people who have gone through some exceedingly difficult circumstances in your life. It would be unthinkably easy for you to be pessimistic. It would be unthinkably easy for you to crawl under a rock somewhere and to think that things are never going to be what you want them to be. That's what a pessimist does. The pessimist has set his mind on situations and circumstances in life, and they are set in concrete in their mind. Is that what you want to be? If you've thought a little bit about yourself and you've honestly come up with the conclusion, and no one can but you to really know your heart and to know your mind, if you've honestly come up with this concept of having a pessimistic, negative attitude, how is it that you can change? In the next little bit, I just simply want to share with you some things that I believe can help us, just in a general way, be more optimistic, more positive thinking kinds of people. That's what God wants from us as we look at life and as we face the problems. And if you have faced problems in your life to this point, no matter how grave they are, it's quite likely things are going to rev up again in what we think of as a negative direction. So we need to be prepared And we need to be ready to face life as it comes to us and to think about being more positive. How can we do that? Well, my first suggestion is for us to reflect on the persons of the past. Here are some biblical examples of people that just had a pretty sad station in life at some point. We look at Joshua and Caleb, and we remember back in Numbers 13 and 14 how 12 spies were sent out. And as these spies were sent out, 10 of them came back with a very negative picture. They were thinking only on their own ability. They were thinking only about what they had an opportunity to do with no other help other than what they could do. And if you aren't careful, you and I will be with that 10. We'll look at life and we'll be 11 and 12 and 13 and 14. And if we aren't careful, there'll be a lot of us lined up behind those 10 men. And people in the world that have circumstances around us that seem to control our lives in a negative way, we're going to begin to think we look like grasshoppers in their sight. It's hard for us to get up and get going with what we have and to face the difficult circumstances in the way that we should. Joshua and Caleb came back. They had faith and trust in God. With God's help, we can take this land. It's a great land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, and God has given it to us. Let us rise and go take this land. Well, obviously, you remember their vote was not large enough. God let the 10 prevail, and they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And none of those over 20 years of age were able to enter into the promised land. And so we need to be thinking what we can do with God's help. In 1 Samuel 17, we look at a teenage boy who was in those years where we think big sometimes and just are not able to back up our thinking. But here's a young man who knew what was going on with regard to his relationship with God. There was a giant that had all of Israel hiding behind rocks on one side of a valley. This giant would come out, and he came out many, many days in a row, and he would challenge any one of them to come out. And David comes along and says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who thinks that he can defeat God?" That's my translation of it. David wasn't thinking he was big enough on his own. He's thinking, who is this guy think he is? He's going to be fighting against God. He said later to this giant, "You come to me with a spear and a sword and a sling, but I come to you not just with a sling, but in the name of the Lord God." You see, he was trusting not in five smooth stones that he picked up and a sling, which he was very good with, by the way. His trust wasn't in that. His trust was in God. We can look back at young people like David. Our young people can look at this young man, and they can see what powerful faith he had and what powerful success he had because of his faith. We need to reflect on people like that. And then when you take the Apostle Paul and you begin reading all of the perils that we read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, we have beginning there a list of things that Paul went through as an apostle of our Lord. There were problems that would have made me want to go hide under a rock somewhere. I can assure you, I would not have wanted to do what the Apostle Paul had to do to continue to preach and continue to be the man of God that he really was. But his conclusion was not about how sad things are, how bad things are. His conclusion is stated in a number of passages, and I've just put one of the most familiar ones on the screen for you, Philippians 4 and verse 13, where the Apostle Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It is about what God can do through us in life. And so we need to reflect on persons from the past. You may be able to think about really super positive people in your life day to day. There are several in my life who have given me a boost that I love to be around and I want to be around. And I reflect on them and how they face the difficulties of life and the circumstances of life, and they come out victorious. The second thing that I would encourage us to do is remember the power of prayer. When I think about the difficulties that are to be faced, I can't picture what some people have to face. My life has had some ups and downs, but my life has not had nearly the ups and downs of some of you. And I'm grateful to God for the blessings that I've had, but we never know what's going to be coming toward us. And as we look at people who are facing life and they are doing wonderful things with their life, in spite of many, many difficulties, there are going to be many people praying with them, for them, about them, and God is going to listen. He promises us that. We need to trust in and remember the power of prayer. How hard is it for all of us to cast our anxieties upon the Lord? Cast our anxieties upon Him. Why? Because He really does care. We read passages like Matthew chapter 6, and we're told to in nothing be anxious, to put our trust in God, and don't worry about tomorrow. And there are so many statements, and some of those things are really, really easy to preach. And we read from Paul's message here in chapter 4 of Philippians and verse 6, where Paul says, be anxious for nothing. It is so we want to say to God, have you not looked at my life? Or as far as I'm concerned, have you not looked at the life of some other people and how much they're struggling and how much you put on them? And you're telling them not to be anxious. It would be okay for me with things in my life as they are, but for these people who are really hurting, you are telling them to be anxious for nothing? That's right. We are not to be so anxious that we think we are standing alone and that nothing can be done on our own. By everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We have such a hard time with that. When it comes to listening to James chapter 1, and we begin reading about counting it all joy when we fall into different kinds of troubles and trials and temptations, it is so hard for us to think of what great opportunities God has given to us. I keep thinking over and over again, and I've said many times and probably will again, the symbol in Chinese for crisis is the same symbol that they use for opportunity. God places opportunities before us. Yes, it comes to us sometimes in the form of a crisis, but we need to remember the prayer of God, the power of God, rather, when we call upon Him and we beseech Him. As we think about the persons of the past and we remember the power of God, we need to rely upon the precious promises of God. They are so many. They've been there forever. Ever since God came into the life of Adam and Eve, or I guess I should say that in the opposite. They came into the life of God as He created them and gave them a great, great place to live. He promised that He would be with them. But He made promises that were in the negative, that were just as real as the promises that were in the positive. The day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you shall surely die. We see how those promises of God were met and how He fulfilled and kept those promises. But if you look at the positive promises of God, what an unbelievable set of circumstances God places before you and me today. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. You see, your acknowledgement of God comes before Him directing your path. It's not a matter of God leading you and directing you as though you are a robot. You must acknowledge Him. And you must acknowledge His will and His way as you love Him. These passages that are on the screen in front of you have such powerful promises. 1 Corinthians 10:13 promises us a way of escape for every temptation that comes. we never have to sin. We will never be able to say before God as we stand before Him in judgment, look, God, you don't understand the pressure. You don't understand, because Jesus came and was tempted in every point like as we are. God understands us from the bottom of His heart, but He also recognizes a way that we can choose to keep ourselves from sin if we are willing. His promise is there's always a way. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, God does not want anyone to perish. He will not stop us from choosing that, but His will, His way. He is going to be faithful and not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's not a person in the world, not one person in the world, that God wants to be lost. If we aren't careful, sometimes people do ugly, hurtful things to us or to people that we love, and we tend to think in negative, ugly ways. God wants no one lost. When those negative things come our way, Romans 8:28 reminds us, all things work together for good if we love the Lord and if we are called according to His purpose. What a great promise, a powerful promise. We have everything in our lives we can take and use for good. Is everything good? Absolutely not. Most all of us have family members, likely, that are exceedingly sick with some problem, perhaps dying with cancer, perhaps some other major relationship circumstance. And they are dying emotionally because of the way life is going. And we see people making bad choices. Are they good? Are those circumstances good? No, they're not. But God says we can take every one of those circumstances and use them for good if we love God and if we are called according to His purpose. And then God promises us this great promise. He warns us, as He warns the church in Revelation chapter 2. He warns us that there are people that are going to have problems. In fact, some of those people are going to be cast in prison. Some of them are going to be involved in serious, difficult trials and tribulations. But the letter to them said, "You be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." We have such unthinkable blessings in Christ if we are willing to go. The promises are there, and the promises are to encourage us and help us to be positive in every circumstance that life brings to it. So we need to rely and trust in, go back and read and believe in the Lord's promises. And then it just takes some work on our part in all of these ways, but it takes real resolve. Resolve to be positive. You must choose it. It's not something that happens automatically. It's sort of like someone was talking to me the other day about maturity. It doesn't necessarily come just because you grow older. We have to choose it. We have to grow into it. We have to make it happen in our lives. We have to make ourselves positive people by choosing positive thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We need to choose positive actions that come out of those positive thoughts. Resolve to be positive. Here's the result. Philippians 4 and verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wouldn't it be a great blessing if every person in this room, accountable before God, could walk out of this room tonight with a great positive attitude? A positive attitude toward other people. A positive attitude toward oneself. A positive attitude toward God. We can have that peace of mind if we're willing to choose. And you and I are like the Apostle Paul. We can do all things. Everything that we really need to do, we can do through Christ Jesus, our Lord. but we must have the resolve. That means tonight, if you are prone toward negative thinking, negative feelings, negative attitudes, you must resolve to change. And it may need to start with a change in your relationship with the people in this very room, seeking their forgiveness for actions and attitudes and behavior. It may be that especially you need to respond and change, resolve to change your relationship with God because you've let other things cause you to be negative toward God and positive toward things that can never help you. Our purpose in singing this next song is to encourage you to be positive about the Lord if you need to respond. If you're a child of God needing prayer, forgiveness, please be positive in your response. If you've never been baptized into Christ, be positive that you are going to repent of your sins, confess Christ's name, and be buried with Him. You must resolve if you have the need as we stand and as we sing.
Very deeply stained with it, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. Else could help. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted He. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises ring. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to Him me long. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saved. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, wills His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today.
Please remain standing.